next time you stop buying
Andy. The power was gonna restore 15 to 20 million
gems. I am your future.
You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, good morning and welcome once again to American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area. And I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in. And if they live at a distance, let them go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link on the front page. Now, we also always send out a good number of our emails in the morning and also after the show to remind people to tune in and invite others to spread the word. And those emails will also be sent out today. I want to thank all of our panel members. As you know, Mark Andel, the founder of American Made Store, is a traditional member of our panel, and he is also being joined today with the East Coast Vice President of SCORE, Rich Loges, who is the principal of RJL Technology, joined us last week, and he will be back with us in 1 week when he's back here in the USA. I want to say thank you also to our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. And as you know, I'm Michael Blihash, here with you every Wednesday and also on Saturdays. Well, I have a very special guest who is joining us once again, and that is Senator John Sabatina. And as I mentioned last Wednesday, he is the new senator of the 5th District of Pennsylvania, which represents a large portion of Northeast Philadelphia, where I reside. And he served for 9 years representing the 174th Legislative District of Pennsylvania, did a great job. And then when our very good friend and supporter, then Senator Stack, Michael Stack, decided that he would run for lieutenant governor and won, we now have a seat open. So our Senator Sabatina filled that seat, and we're going to look for him to be in that seat for a number of years. I am going to ask him to continue to promote all of our agendas, which, as you know, is NationalSmallBusinessWeekend.com. And Mark and Larkin, we are promoting again November as American Made Month. We're going to do that. We got some very good responses from that. In fact, the senator told me he is going to have a special resolution placed in the Senate honoring November as American Made Month, and also promoting our National Small Business Weekend. We have a lot of connections, the senator and I, and I'm looking forward to him. We'll get a hold of Penny McBride and everybody and make sure this thing goes real well. Senator, welcome back again to the show.
Mike, thank you very much for having me, Mike. It's good to be here.
I hope this becomes a good tradition. I know that you'll be doing a lot with the new session coming up throughout the month of September, going through the end of the year. But whenever you can, even if you have to call in to give us some updates, we have a dial-in number. You know, we're an international radio broadcast. And I'm really pleased with the amount of people that we have tuning in from all over the USA. Every one of us has contacts that we make contact with and ask them to tune in, spread the word, email the word out. And Mark Andel is, of course, one of the people who is a featured guy after all he went through to rebuild his business and to open the Made in America store. And Larkin Connolly has certainly informed a lot of people about what he is doing with SCORE. Many people never heard of SCORE, and now they are hearing about SCORE and some of the difficulties and things like that that people have to do to go into business. You just don't decide to go into business. There's a lot of things that have to be done. And Larkin's group is certainly one of the groups that will definitely help you do that. Larkin, if the senator, or Ken Bode, who's also joining us today, the senator's assistant, if he was going to want to go into business, Larkin, what would be the first thing you would ask him for?
Well, Michael, the first thing in a face-to-face mentoring session that is done is for the mentor and the mentee to kind of feel each other out and understand who they are and where they come from. It's then the responsibility of the mentor to determine what kind of business it is that the senator would like to start, and make sure that he has a handful of things prepared for this. And one would be the mental acuity and the ability to, in fact, run the business, the emotional acuity, the knowledge that he's never in his life ever going to work harder, and that his wallet is in adequate condition to you know, make this commitment. Anybody that comes to anybody and says, well, I've got this brand-new business, and I made money the second month I was in business, you're going to have to be very skeptical of that person. Hmm. So to get to know you and make sure that you have the mental, emotional, and monetary acuity, you know, to approach it. And if not, well, then it's then there are some long, long discussions. If you do, then we determine first the business plan, sitting down and figuring out what you want to do, so we point you in that direction. Then some marketing, so we point you in one of our mentors that's in marketing, especially in your product line. And so on and so on. And the process sometimes takes a year. I'm dealing with one right now that's getting so much press it's almost unbelievable, and it has taken her 3 years to get this thing up and started. And we're wrestling with banks right now. So that's basically what a visit turns into. And, Senator, when we talked last week, I told you I wanted to give you some numbers, and I couldn't remember enough of them. But SCORE last year in 2014, started 56,000 businesses nationwide. 50,000 jobs were created, and I think we added something like $7.5 million to the tax coffers of the different entities where the businesses were involved. So. Wow. That's what SCORE does, and if you want to start a business, please give me a call.
Okay.
Well, you know, Larkin, the most important thing about SCORE is, I think, after a person goes through your counseling sessions, they're going to know if they're really qualified to go into the business and understand what it's going to take to maintain that business for the future. And that's exactly, I'm sure, Mark, you can agree, that's what happened to you when you went into the second business, opening up your store.
The question is what it really took to, you know, get Made in America off the ground. You know, 5 years were 5 years strong, but people don't realize I started, you know, I help people start business, and I tell them, you know, it's a mother like nurturing its child, or it's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done, and you got to stay hungry, and it's consistent. And Larkin, you asked them three questions, you know, about you know, the emotional drain on mental, your emotional personality, and monetary. And it's very, very tough for running a business, especially these days. I always joke that every American house should have a garage, because, you know, everybody starts out of the garage. But it's awesome to hear how many businesses, Larkin, you started. But I don't think people realize how hard it is, and you can't quit. You know, you got to have that non-quit, that American can-do spirit. And a very rare breed. And unfortunately, it's a dying breed, and we want to bring that back. But you can't quit. You got to keep going. But we do need help. Senator, it's great to hear from you again. It was great to meet you last week. And I think I know you get it. You understand what we're going through as business owners, but let alone startup businesses. So hard. They need help. We touched on banks. I was with a larger bank, and I just recently went with a community bank. And what I liked with the community bank, and there's a lot of different layers to my business, but I don't like to complicate it too much. I want a relationship. I want to talk to the person. I want them to know Mark Andel, come see my operation, see the nut house we are, and help me. And that's what I found in a community bank. And it's very, very hard to get capital, I think, Larkin. You'd say that's your number one problem, just about?
Yep.
to start a business.
Yep.
And I don't think people realize the problem it is. You just can't get capital. I'm 30 years in business and still have trouble, and they want more and more and more paperwork. And we never missed a payment in 30 years, you know, so I'm proud of that. But it's a different world. It's very, very hard to get capital, and people got to realize businesses aren't just about making money. They're about creating livelihoods, and that's what I think's missed.
Larkin,
if I can put the final dot on this, this question for the senator. I had an individual come into me, and this is a dead ringer. This is, get up from the table and help him out the door. He came in and we had this long conversation, and probably 25 minutes into the conversation, he said, "When do I lease my BMW?"
I love when they start there, Larkin.
Yeah, I said, "Well, let's talk about maybe 12 years from now, if you're lucky."
5-year men.
Yeah. You know, Larkin, what is very important is the senator has the opportunity to bring people together to talk about starting new businesses, which is something we can do and we can promote very heavily during November, Made in America Month, because there are a lot of people out there, but I don't see any places that they're having this type of gathering where you're talking about common interests. It seems that everybody's off on their own. If you can do it, you can do it. If you go to score, you go to score. But there seems not to be a lot of places helping people know what to do about starting a business, and mainly easy contact for that particular place.
Well, Michael, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. There are a myriad different organizations statewide. The state of Pennsylvania even takes a pretty aggressive position on this, and Senator, you have to help me. I forget the name of the program.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it myself.
It's a great program. As a matter of fact, I was cleaning up my office, and like every time, I did a super filing job, and I don't know what I did with that booklet. But
well, see, that's my point. That's a good point, Larkin. If we can't think of the place, how will the other people know about that place? So maybe we can get some of them and post them on our internet site and bring them up from time to time, because there are places I know, but they're not in the forefront where I'm seeing any kind of email from them once a month for an update, or we're having a public conference if you're interested in a business or this or that. I don't see those kinds of things.
Temple, LaSalle, UP, I'm forgetting one or two, now have entire departments inside their business schools called entrepreneurial school. They really do. They offer a complete, and of course they're trying to respond to, you know, a fundamental need. That's not where it happens. You know, if you want to start a restaurant and you come to me, you better have worked in the restaurant for at least 10 years, front and back.
Wow.
I've had so many people say, come to me and say, "I want to start a business. What do you think I ought to do?" I go, "If you don't know, I don't know." I mean, and he said, "Well, how about a restaurant?" I said, "Have you ever worked in a restaurant?" He said, "No, but I eat in them all the time." It doesn't qualify. So everybody's just, "Let's start a business. Let's start a business." It's really hard. One last comment. Senator, you have an extraordinary opportunity. I don't know of anybody that has taken the lead anywhere, and I could be 100% wrong. I only have 14 states, so there might be something amongst the other 36. But nobody has taken the lead and is standing up for small businesses and touting them and trying to protect them and trying to explain how it would be such a great initiative and such a great topic to speak on, because 65 or 70% of the people in this country work for a small business.
Yeah, they're truly the backbone of this country, the small businesses. And I said last week that my mom and pop pharmacy went out of business, and I specifically went to them because the owner was a friend of mine, and it was a little farther and it was a little pricier, but to me it was worth it just to keep the small business going. Unfortunately, He could not keep it going, and now I choose between another small mom and pop pharmacy or Rite Aid or CVS or one of the big guys. So
one of the big guys.
When you
the big guys have unintentionally, maybe, driven all the small pharmacies out.
Yep, this is the problem. That is why the national small business idea has to continue to grow, because what we're doing, Senator, is asking people to focus more of their dollars to the local communities. In other words, not to hurt the big stores, but to share with local communities. Why we started that originally is when people, I went to the advertisers and talked with them, they told me, we're getting killed by this mart, and that mart opened up this huge store. And so they said, well, what can we do with once a month type of operation to bring people in, and we'll make some special programs, give a soda with your pizza or whatever, do something special to bring you in over and over again, make new friends. So that's how that started, and it's done quite well. And I see more and more places are doing either small business weekends, first Friday and Saturday. There's all kinds of plans to get the people out, which is really, really good, because it helps to bring people out to the area, to the stores, and it gives the opportunity for the stores to welcome new customers. That's the main thing, welcome customers and making friends.
Yeah, Senator, I hate to hear when that small pharmacy closed up at a mom and pop store, and the emotions that are involved, and I'm sure if they were friends, but people don't realize that cost of doing business, the cost of sale. You've got to bring in more than you give out, and they have to raise their prices slowly and be more than a big box store, but it's very hard to make enough to stay in, and it's a shame when you see them small ones closed, because Larkin, as it's hard to open another one. I wished I had known Larkin and Score 30 years ago, because Larkin, what you give is a lot of expertise for free and help people and let them realize some of the facts. And Score is just an awesome organization, and I have to admit, before 2 years ago with you, Larkin, I really didn't know of it. So the more exposure for all these things we're talking about, the better.
Yeah, well, we call Score the best kept secret, but this year in our national convention a couple weeks ago in Reno, we had 400 of our closest friends, and we decided, we're not such a secret anymore, and we've got to keep on building on that and continue to help people with real serious assisting services, and that's our mission.
At some point in the future, Larkin, maybe we can get, even if we do it on another day during the week, not during our Wednesday broadcast, we can preempt another show and bring on some of the small business owners and let them talk about what it took them to start up and how much money they need. Do they have a good relationship with the banking system? Do they have to go begging friends and relatives for money to help them get started? I think it would be a nice program that we could produce maybe a couple times a year to make sure that people know more what to do. I know when I go and talk to people, they say, there's just, I don't know what to do. I said, well, try this bank. And they said, no, they don't do this anymore. You have to call corporate headquarters, file online. It's all this very impersonal type of response that people get. And that's very discouraging at some point. You should know your local banker. And local banks really are very important to America and the way we do business.
Mark said it all. I mean, it's totally captures the issue of banking right now. You have to know your local banker, your community banker. Wells Fargo doesn't know you from a stack, and I don't mean to pick on them, but Wells Fargo doesn't know you from a stack of hay. And their new business loan application looks like the Brooklyn phone book. So, it's just, whereas if you know your local banker and you walk in and shake his or her hand and they say, what do you need? It's not, you have to fill out these 497 pages, plus we have to have a pint of blood from your firstborn. No, that you're a part of their community. Now, they're going to ask you to do business with them and, deposit with them and write your checks out of their bank. But, heck, that's how that works.
Yeah, they want to have your business but not take you by the side and guide you along the way to how they can help you. That's a very typical problem. You know, as the senator's here, and I would like to encourage all of our listeners, as Labor Day gets closer, as you're going out shopping for your school items, this is an excellent opportunity for parents and grandparents and guardians. We have over 80 million students ready to return to grade school, high school, and college. What an opportunity for you to go out and make sure the stores where you shop know that you're a supporter of American Made. I go out and do my part, and I am really very pleased with the responses that I receive. One of the things that the people are telling me more and more is that people are speaking up and they are standing up for American Made and American workers, because the people I know, the people we all know, want to be employed, and the state of Pennsylvania and every state in the USA has to do more to welcome jobs back to the America, to expand jobs in America, and our businesses have to do more to promote the fact that they are American made. What would you add to that, Mark?
Yeah, I agree, Mike. And I think last week I mentioned the six college students I had. It wasn't an internship from Alfred Tech, but it was something I found these students and I hired them. And it was neat. I actually sat with these young guys, and they're all 18, 19. And I asked them, you know, did you learn something here in your – because they worked the summer here, and now they go back to year two at Alfred Tech. And I want to capture them as employees after that if they'd like to be here. And I asked them, you know, what did you learn something? They said, yes. What could you do better at school? What could your teachers do better? Because we got to work business to the schools better. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, they want to get married. They want to have children. And I said, you know, what amount of money did the schools tell you you'll be making when you get out as a welder? And, you know, some said $50,000 or so. And, you know, we go back to the schools, got to be honest, because a lot of times you don't start as $50,000. But these kids, what was refreshing was to see the six kids I used for the 3 months were all productive, all punctual. Their soft skills were right there, and it's very, very rare, but it was neat to see. But they want to actually live the American dream. They want an opportunity. They want a piece of their pie, and they want to provide, you know, food, shelter, and clothing for their family, all the basics. But it was nice to see these young students. But a point, Senator, that you might be able to help with is to tie more schools and businesses together to let the kids come through on tours and let them see what's going on in business while they're in school. And also, I talked about the American Made movie last week, but educating students on what Made in America matters, what building products in your own country, how it matters, and yes, globalization's here, and we've got accepted, but how it actually matters, and work on that side of the education, because I think it's lost. There's a disconnect between schools and businesses.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Mark. I you know, when I remember when I was 17, trying to figure out what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, it was difficult for me just because I did not have that bridge or that knowledge as to what was out there. So there is a disconnect that exists between colleges and education facilities and the student, because they you know, when you're 16, 17, I don't know if you're necessarily focusing on what you want to do for the rest of your life. But
right,
if somebody shows you, look, you could do this, you could do that, you could do something else, you know, to pique your interest, pique your curiosity, and get your motivation going, you know, so that you do fall into something, a career path. And Mark, last week you mentioned P-TECH.
Yes.
I'm interested in learning more about that. I don't know that that's available in the state of Pennsylvania, but If you have any information on that,
Mike to get to you. Yeah, I've got some folders. Pretty interesting. Pretty neat where they're going. Unfortunately, it's a great program. I won't see kids out of it if they do get their grant and they launch it this year. It's a 6-year program, so it's funny if you look, you don't see children out of it to 2000, you know, 21. It's funny because I've got problems right now, but it's a great start, and we all got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, joining us today is Senator John Sabatino, who is from the 5th District of the state of Pennsylvania, And he's on the Aging and Youth Committee and also on the Labor and Industry Committee and Veterans Affairs Committee. And he's looking forward to really making his feelings known in the state of Pennsylvania so we get more of our ideas of Made in America out to the state people, to the constituents, to the elected officials. I think that a lot more has to be done in the state of Pennsylvania to bring attention to the fact that schools must put in more of the trades and industrial arts programs. Senator, do you think there is a way of getting all of the school boards together and have them talk about, see what the trades are doing in their particular school areas? Every school board, I think we have 500 school boards in the state of Pennsylvania. So maybe an initial email or bringing them on some sort of a forum that they would be able to speak and be able to talk about what do they feel would be good in their particular school districts, or maybe two districts could share the trades and industrial arts programs.
Yeah, Michael, yeah, it, you know, I believe it just, it begins with one, right? It begins with a spark and it needs to catch fire. So that's what I believe needs to happen in this regard. Pennsylvania right now supports 85 career technical centers as well as 141 school districts and 44 post-secondary institutions offering the career and technical education. I think, you know, we get the ball rolling and we, introduce a school to students and invite into the working field and vice versa. I believe that, you know, we could put something together to bridge that gap.
You know, you just mentioned, boy, that's a good number of schools that are involved in this. I wonder if there is a way to get all those schools together to see how they're doing and what they would like to see expanded in their areas so that they'd be able to produce more, create more skilled boys and girls to be out in the job market right after graduation.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of reaching out to those individual schools, maybe their business department or another qualified department, and just tell them, hey, look, we'd like to help you help us. So, I don't know if we need to do it collectively or individually, but I think it's a necessary step to get us back on track.
Larkin and I were manning the Small Business Expo in Philadelphia. That was back in late March. And I was at our booth and Larkin was at his score booth, many of the people were coming up to me and saying, are there any opportunities for job training programs outside of community college? Is there anything in Northeast Philadelphia or Delaware County? And so I put them in contact with different places that they could look on the internet. But it is something of interest to people of all ages. There are people who, unfortunately, at the age of 45 or 50, their business decides to move to another state or move out of the country. Some of those people never had a resume working in social services. We do help those people get a resume. If someone like yourself, or you're a very young guy, your friends, I'm sure some of them started at something at school and then the place divided or united or moved away or whatever, and they found themselves in need of a resume and a new place to hang their hat. Well, in the economy that we've gone through in the last 10 years, we haven't seen that. Mark said a few weeks ago, his father said he could quit a job on Friday and have a job to go to on Monday. Well, that's not how it is in America these days.
No, that's not the case.
And a good job.
Yeah.
Good paying job. You know, one thing we talked about, it was nice to hear, Senator, how many schools and tech schools you have, which surprised me, the number you just read. But, you know, it brings me back to where's a disconnect, I think, between the parents and guidance counselors. They have to make it okay. If a child says, hey, I'd rather go into a tech school and learn to work with my hands, that has to be made okay. And I think sometimes it's not these days. It's just one push, one direction.
Yeah, you know, we've gotten, and it reminds me of the line from Caddyshack, the movie Caddyshack. The world needs ditch diggers too. So, and you know, it's not everybody's cut out for college, and not everybody, is meant to, have their master's degree. And last week I spoke, and there is a specific knowledge that goes into trades. I mean, there's whether you're cutting metal or whether you're plumbing or electrical or some what have you, there is a specific knowledge that goes into trades that it just isn't or can't be taught in the classroom in college. And so, you know, it's just a different form of advanced education in my eyes.
So and, you know, the technology, I think it's not breaking rocks with a hammer. I think 2-3 weeks ago I mentioned I went to Boss Snowplow. We're a large snowplow distributor. We sell about 300 to 500 a year. But Boss is made in the UP, Upper Michigan. And I went there on it was a distributor meeting, and I had to plant tour, and they had breakout sessions. And it's funny how much robotics is involved, how much technology. CNC computers, and these engineers look good and we're sharp to make, you know, and their goal is to make the best product, be as competitive as they can, and lead with quality. That's why I like the Boss Snowplow. But it's so funny, I think there's a misdirection or conception on how, what technology, what trade schools, what we're talking about. Actually, there's you got to be sharp. I mean, there's a lot of technology.
Yeah, it's not something
it's
to
different.
Take lightly.
Yeah.
There is definitely a new trend in America as we see a lot of the boys and girls in the high schools and colleges coming out and going to these career fairs. They're also saying, well, you know, why wasn't I introduced to that? Well, I had the opportunity when I was in 9th grade and 10th grade. And I think this is a new time for America to restore what was available to the people 25 and 30 years ago. A lot of the people who are tradesmen and do come to our building or go out, I recommend to other people. I talk to them and they say, well, yeah, I had it at Dobbins High School. I was here and there, and we had 2.5 years of plumbing and car repairs and everything. That's not offered anymore. And I think maybe we have to start looking at the students and see what they're looking for themselves in the future. As you said before, not everyone is going to be college bound. So we have to respect the people who also want to be a job and have a great job. Welding, plumbing, you know, heating and air conditioning. These are all jobs that we need. I see so many of the foreign products come over, and when there's a repair needed, there's nobody to repair it. They just come in, they rip the motherboard out, put a brand new one in, nobody knows anything. Just, did you get the piece of mail we sent you? And I say, yeah, what is it? And they said, oh, it's the motherboard. We'll have somebody walk in and walk out. Nobody knows anything. I said, well, can't you fix it here? No, it's all done by the motherboard. I'm going to take a few moments to acknowledge some of our very faithful supporters. Would you just sit back and relax? And I'd like to say thank you to Mr. Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, who has his office at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond. Also, Serena's Auto Body Shop has two locations to serve you, one in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. For more information, you can contact Serena's Auto Body Shop at 215-535-6606. And the Net Cost Market has two locations in Philadelphia. One is at 117,001 Busselton Avenue. That's at the Leo Mall just off Byberry Road and Busselton Avenue. And their newest location is at 2417 Welsh Road, just off Welsh Road and the Roosevelt Boulevard. You can shop there 7 days a week or check them out on the internet anytime by going to netcostphilly.com. And also, Mr. Joseph Drobot, president of the PRCUA, wishes all of you a great summer and thanks you for supporting American Made. And Mr. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, also encourages you to support American Made and reminds you he has two offices in Philadelphia, one in Center City, the other is in Northeast Philadelphia. And for a great smile, remember Dr. Eva Machak has two offices, one at 3084 Armingo Avenue, the other is at 4250 Richmond Street. And Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, has his office on the 26th floor of 1835 Market Street in Center City, Philadelphia. For more information, give him a call at 215-535-7624. Also, remember that Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond. And for all of your travel needs, remember the Polish American Travel Service is at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue. When you're out and about, look for Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928. And Pat's Auto Tags has three locations to serve you. One is at 2536 East Allegheny Avenue, the other is at 5501 Harbison Avenue, and another at 400 East Allegheny Avenue, all in Philadelphia. And Martin Bednarek, the president of Washington Savings Bank, Kazimierz Wielki Bank, reminds you they have five locations in Philadelphia, and he urges you to support American made. And Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, attorney at law, represents clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. You can give her a call at 215-423-4824. And State Farm Insurance handles many levels of insurance. And I want you to remember our very faithful sponsor, Karen Janad at State Farm. They handle auto, home, and life insurance. Give her a call at 215-862-5490. And for a great smile also, Dr. Wojciech Zinn and Everest Dental are located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. For more information and a great smile, give them a call at 215-671-0188. And the Polish National Alliance and Mr. Frank Spula, president, remind you that they have locations in all 50 states. For more information, give them a call at 1-800-621-3723. And also remember Mark Andel of the American Made in America store. He is the American king of everything 100% made in the USA. Check him out anytime where you can order your products. He has school supplies as well. Go to madeinamericastore.com. And the Polish and Slavic Federal Credit Union is a national organization, and they do banking online wherever you are. For more information, you can check out where their offices are located or contact them by going to psfcu.com. And the Sugar House Casino is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia. You can visit them anytime by going to thesugarhousecasino.com. I'm going to ask you also to view our internet site. The front page of our internet site has two very important links that are brand new. One is about the Blue Angels and the fact that they are not selling anything made in America at any of their air shows. That's something we're working on and trying to change. And there's also another link, school supplies that are made in the USA, where you can go on that and you'll find several companies that are offering that particular brand of products. When you look at what is available on the internet, you can also go to your local stores and ask them for that particular brand of product. And one more thing before I get back to our special guest and our panel members, I want to remind all of you that November is not that far away. It's hard to believe, but the clock only goes in one direction. And we are once again issuing November as American Made Month. And there is a new link on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. So please do check that out, all those links, and let us know how you are doing. You can contact me anytime at michael@americanworkersradio.com. Well, thanks once again to a special visitor. I'm glad that Senator John Sabatina of the 5th Senatorial District is joining us again today. He's with his very well-known and able assistant, Ken Bode, who has been really a champion of working with people through the office of Senator Stack, now Senator Sabatina. And I want to thank you, Ken, for all that you do to help people. You've really been a very special person in this process.
Thank you, Michael.
Very good. Well, Senator Sabatina and Larkin Connolly and Mark Andel, I'm Michael Blihash, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. It's getting closer and closer to Labor Day. It's getting closer and closer to kids getting back to school. I'm pleading with you, when you go shopping, do as I do. Be a motor mouth. Go in there and tell them you're looking for American made. And if you don't find it in one store, walk out the door and shop elsewhere. I do notice that many of the businesses are starting to put loud and clear little flags on everything that they are selling that is made in America. And that's something that maybe we can do here, Senator, in the state of Pennsylvania, start urging the businesses producing items that are sold in the stores and other items as well with little stickers that say made in America, made in Pennsylvania.
I think that's a great idea, Michael, to get the ball rolling. I think, if we enlist that campaign to put American flags on everything that's American made, you know, it instills a sense of patriotism, and it's gonna result in people coming out and buying American made products.
We're in a new era. We see so many things changing in the world. People saw how unemployment affected them, and they don't want that to continue. They want to see and hear every idea possible. That's why they enjoy listening on the radio to Larkin Connolly and to Mark Andel and Rich Loges and our special guests like yourself. They want to hear what somebody else is doing. I mean, some of the major media you tune into, they're just telling you all the bad things that are happening and not putting out enough time on what's happening that's good. Larkin, what's new with you?
So I apologize. I apologize, but the telephone gremlin grabbed me again and hung up. I swear one of these days I'm going to learn how to use one of these.
But I want to tell you something, Larkin. With modern technology, we are able to have, look at just in the last few weeks, Rich called in from Poland. You're in Florida. I mean, it's just unbelievable. We're able to have communications at our fingertips, and we're able to be one people. And that's what hopefully our American-made movement is encouraging people. Not everybody is going to go out and speak up real loud and clear and be very boisterous about themselves. But there are people that will do it nicely, and the people will walk out the door. And my main thing is, well, if you can't find it in a big store, go to a local store. Go and shop on the Frankfort Avenues in Philadelphia and the Bustleton Avenues and all these places to make sure that the people know that you're looking for American made. The small stores have a lot to do with the success of this project.
So the senator a little bit earlier, and I could not remember any of the programs in Pennsylvania, and I still can't remember.
Larkin, SEWN, I believe they're consultants, kind of like what you do.
The kind of the thing that I thought of is the Department of State, Pennsylvania Department of State has a thing called Open for Business.
Okay.
They're a great resource for getting across the hurdle of registering your business and, you know, copyrights and all the rest of that stuff that has to be done, taxes and all the rest of that, things that have to be done.
Now, Larkin, I sort of remember us meeting with one of the people you know, a young lady from Philadelphia who was working on some kind of a campaign to get businesses working together. What was that program?
Businesses working together.
Yes, it was a girl. She was starting 10,000 businesses in Philadelphia.
Well, that's the 10,000 businesses in Philadelphia is an initiative out of New York City by the investment bank of I never saw that, not remember that. But it's the biggest investment banking house out of New York City. And they have, and I may have had, oh, I know who I had on. Her name escapes me also. But she was from the 10,000 businesses. I keep on wanting to say Deloitte. That's not Deloitte. But they are trying to get small businesses together. Goldman Sachs is who it is. Goldman Sachs has got a program called 10,000 Small Businesses. They've done it in Kansas City and Houston and Cleveland. Done it in New York, and now we're in Philadelphia. Probably 11 or 12 months into that program, that would be the only one I could think of.
Well, those are the kinds of people we have to get working together on the same sheet of music. There's a lot of quality services out there. Maybe with all of us working together, we can accomplish more.
Well, SCORE has no competition. We have collaborative partners. Most all of the other nonprofits or the other small business assistance groups charge money, either for their classes or for the material or for whatever. SCORE charges Zippo, El Zippo, zero, nothing. So that CDCs and CDFIs and other nonprofit small business assistance groups in any area call on us because they know that we can call up great content and great speakers, and there's not going to be a charge. So that's why we're so brilliant, Michael. We're so brilliant. You can see us shining from thousands of miles away.
Mark, as the season gets closer to the Labor Day holiday, what's happening up there in your neck of the woods?
Well, we just finished our 12-day Erie County Fair run with my General Welding display and Made in America display. And, you know, both, it's great to go out there. Me and my brother did the General Welding one for 25 years, and you meet a lot of people, and you can't tire for the 12 days. But you talk a lot, and we get feedback, and the feedback is positive, especially the Made in America side, a lot of respect. So it was a very positive show. Now forward, we got Labor Day, Mike, which is very interesting. We do a lot of push for. And then we have our big fall festival, which we're doing September 18th this year. And we're going to launch some real big news, and it involves our new store without saying too much. And it's going to be real classy, and I'm going to fill you guys in as we're coming up in the next weeks what we're up to. But it's nice to see growth. We've been very, very busy. My team is incredible. For my wife, children, family, and the team I've got just could take on anything. But the word there is team, and I think the senator agrees and everybody on the radio, we've got to start working together towards, with common goals and get positive and helpful and, not be one-sided.
You're right, and we have to promote those skills. Mark, many of the people I'm sure that you meet in your various fairs and all that you're running are skilled workers that have something to offer. But there's also a need for us to promote ways for the younger people to get those skills so that they'll be able to take the place of the people who are retiring and make sure that America moves forward at every point.
Yeah, and we got to stay away from the negative. They get so... You got to break up the groups. We got to focus and get online with the fair. Talking to thousands of people, that's why the voice is down. You get a taste of what's out there. It's like meeting all my buses and the bus people. You get a feeling of what's really out in the country. But we all know we're in the best country in the world. There's so much to be done, and we got to keep that positive attitude up. And there is hope, and every day we can make a difference.
Yep. You know, as we were talking 2 weeks ago, there have been some companies that moved out of not only Pennsylvania but other states and moved to markets south or overseas. And I'm really concerned, and I'd like to see some of the things changed, and that is I'd like to see the labels once again have to mention where the product is coming from. This is a major concern of mine. As I go out into the stores, I look at the products. I ask the manager, can you please, maybe I can't find it. Can you find out where this product is made or where it was baked? There was always a rule. The old styling label said made in whatever city, state, or country, and it was marked very clearly. Today, it doesn't say made in, baked in, canned in. I will say this. Some of the companies definitely that are made in America definitely have it on there. And that's one of the things, you like a red flag, that you can know that there's something fishy when you can't find on the box where the product is made. And that's why I'm saying earlier, if we could get more and more of the companies to put a little flag that are actually made in the USA to bring attention to people like ourselves who are going out of our way to make sure we support our fellow American workers. We can get that going so that people are out there, have a chance to make a real choice. It's not a choice based upon what they see and know is fact, not the hidden facts that you have to play around with. I did go shopping 2 weeks ago, and I did make a nice presentation in the store, and I asked the two head managers, this is a big store, and I asked them if they could show me products that where the products are made, and they said where the products are baked. This is at a ShopRite. And the guy was really dancing around, when I tell you, dancing. And I said, well, why did this happen? And he said, well, new labeling rules are this. Because many companies are now international, they don't have to, you know, say where they're made. They just have to say who distributes them. And I think that's been hurtful. I think we have to go back to the labeling that clearly says made in Pennsylvania, made in Jersey, made in Florida. So there's no doubt about it. If I want to become an all Florida person, I want to only buy things made in Florida, I have that choice. Right now, these boxes by Nabisco and many of the others, Oreos and all, be very careful about those boxes because they do not make them here in the States anymore. It's all coming from point south. So as we get closer to the point of going out shopping for school supplies, look at every product and please don't be afraid to speak up. What our listeners and people who have been supporting, like David Muir and ABC World News and all, we've done such a tremendous amount of good by opening the eyes of the people. The sleeping giant has really woken up. They're not snoring back and sitting back and doing nothing. They want something to happen in the USA that's very positive. What would you say, Senator?
I agree with you 100%, Michael. I mentioned last week that Pennsylvania has a brand that they actually go out of their way to brand, PA Preferred. And what that does is they found that just because that has that PA Preferred label on their produce, people are more inclined from Pennsylvania to buy that produce rather than something that doesn't have that label. And, I think maybe we're looking at it a little upside down in that I think part of the advantage that companies that still make products in the United States have is they have the ability to put that flag on their product. They have the ability to say made in America, which would instill patriotism and home team feeling. And, you know, I'm going to spend an extra dollar if it means putting it towards a product that's made into the United States and to help the economy and people being remaining employed. So I think along those lines, I think, you know, some of the corporations and companies should take advantage of the fact that they are made in America and they should.
Well said.
Yeah.
It's a missed opportunity. What do you say to that, Mark?
Yeah, I like it. You know, you get bragging rights and you support your country and there's nothing wrong with that. I'd love to see an incentive tied to that someday. You know, I'd love to say, hey, you know, if you're got a business in the United States, you've got to have a certain percentage of your product you got to build it in the United States, and it would be love. It would be great to tie something to that. But you're right, Senator. You know, have them bragging rights. Be proud. The ones that are made here are going to do that. You know, the other ones, Mike, like you said, you're finding distributed in or whatnot. That should raise a flag that there might be something going on. You know, you don't know who's making that.
There is something else I see happening. I noticed when I went to Home Depot that some of the off brands, so to speak, are now putting the flag that they're made in America. They're not the name brand. The new company came about and put their product on the shelf, and my eye was attracted to the little flag. And when I went over to the flag, I looked at it, and then I called the guy, and he says, "Oh, it's a new brand that's coming out." That's also something, Larkin, we have to encourage. New businesses, new opportunities to spread the product, put the flag on their various items, and we will be a much happier nation.
Well, I think that's one of the things I was trying to say to the senator in a kind of a roundabout way is there are so many things that our leaders can do right now, and one of them is to guarantee that loan to guarantee, you know, under certain circumstances, and I can detail those circumstances also. But that the state guarantees a loan, just like the SBA does, but a little bit more liberally, if the product is manufactured in Pennsylvania. You want to recover Pennsylvania's economy. You want to see Pennsylvania come just shooting out of the mountains. Guarantee a program where small businesses in Pennsylvania can get some guaranteed money to grow their businesses. And but they can't leave the state. I mean, they could certainly sell outside of the state, but the product has to be manufactured in the state of Pennsylvania. You want to talk about growing? That's essentially what Texas did. And as we all know, Texas's economy is just busting at the seams. They're doing very, very well down there. But there's Texas money available, but it has to be made in Texas.
Very well said, Larkin. That is very important. And I think this is one of the way elected officials can go out of their way to bring attention back to making things in the USA. We became satisfied. We have to accept the fact that we became satisfied with going into the stores and hearing the people behind the counter say, well, what difference does it make as long as you have the product available? We have to now start to say it does make a difference if it is made in the state of Pennsylvania or made in the USA. Mark, look at what we did in the last 4 or 5 years with the American flag. Now we have American flag movements all over the countries. State houses are saying we have to have only American flags in the stores. And you see yourself, everywhere I go in the communities, I've never seen so many American flags flying ever. And they're flying all summer. We're pleading with people to make sure that they fly their flags. Uh-oh, you can tell by the music. Oh, man. I'm going to have to get a clip and keep my mouth shut so everybody else can talk more. Senator, thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much. We're going to look. I know you're back in session soon, so we won't be able to be with us live, but you're going to have to call in as often as possible.
No, I will.
Larkin, thank you again for your participation, and we'll be hearing again next week from Rich Loges, who will be back from his vacation in Poland and Germany. And until we have the opportunity to be together again, I hope that God will bless all of you, and God will bless America. Make sure you fly your flags proudly, and make sure you support American made. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, my best wishes to all of you. David Zenya.
Good luck, Senator.
Thank you very much, guys.
Great to talk to you, Senator, again, and God bless.
Thank you. You too.